From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Great to see you. Thank you so much. Great show for you today. We got comedian Bill Maher coming to join us and play Not My Job. Meanwhile, do you guys, any of you guys follow President Obama on Twitter? This week he made history. He used it to announce the end of the Iraq War. That's true. What began with shock and awe ended with a tweet. And really, who would have thought that such a historic moment would come between an update about the chicken wrap he ate for lunch and his shout out to last night's toddlers and tiaras? It was amazing. We'll keep you entertained until the president updates again, so give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hello there. This is Dave Morrill in Keene, New Hampshire.
Hey, how are things in Keene?
Just peachy.
I bet. Now, you guys, you're in New Hampshire, so peachy Keene. Oh, yeah. Took me a second. I'm from New Jersey. We're slow. Dave, welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, one of the founders of the Axis of Evil comedy tour, a comedian who will be performing at the San Jose Improv December 29th through the 31st. I'm talking about Maz Jobrani. He's
here.
How are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Next, a comedian who will be performing at the San Francisco Sketch Fest January 20th and 21st. It's Jessie Klein. We welcome her back.
Hello.
And another comedian. She'll be performing in Charlotte, North Carolina on January 21st at the Knight Theater. It's Paula Poundstone. Well, welcome to the show, Dave. You're going to play Who's Carl this time. Carl Castle, of course, is going to read you three quotes from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you will win our prize. Carl's voice on your voicemail. Ready to go?
Ready to go.
Here is your first quote.
Rick, I'll tell you what. $10,000? $10,000 bet?
That was somebody casually offering to bet about a quarter of the average American annual income in a debate last Saturday night. Who was it?
These guys are really making your job a lot easier for you, aren't they?
I hope they never stop.
that was Mitt Romney.
It was Mitt Romney. Very good, yes. So on Saturday in the debate, Mitt got in an argument with Rick Perry. And he offered to bet 10 grand that Perry was wrong. And everybody was like, oh, man, he's so rich and out of touch. So Romney made up for the gaffe by addressing the 7 million people who watched that debate and offering them each 10 grand to forget all about it. And you know that it happened like this. Mitt's there on stage, and the moment comes up, and Mitt says to himself, well, I could bet him $1 million. But what would the common man bet? 10,000. That's what one of those lattes at Starbucks costs, right?
You know, the thing is, I feel like even when Romney loses a bet, he never has to pay because no one has changed for a $100,000 bill.
That's true.
Just all he carries.
That was not even the worst thing that happened to the Romney campaign this week. Newt Gingrich continued to pummel him in national polls, despite the fact that an investigative report in the Wall Street Journal revealed that he is, in fact, that Newt Gingrich.
It is kind of following the format of like a classic horror movie where like I think we all thought he was gone.
You
and then at the last minute it's like, oh my God, he's back! Terrifying.
And then this is my favorite story from Mitt Romney's worst week ever. Mitt goes into a New Hampshire diner and he sees these two crusty old guys with veterans caps on. Right? It's like, oh man, it's like, oh, this is great. This is my people. And he sits down with the cameras running. And one of the guys says, well, where do you stand on gay marriage? And Mitt says to himself, softball! And he's like, oh, of course I'm against it. And the guy says, well, my husband and I here disagree. And this happened. And poor Mitt, he doesn't know what to do. He's like, that can't be your husband. He's a man. And so are you.
You should have just given him $10,000.
I know. Dave, here is your next quote.
I know what I don't want.
That was somebody quoted in Time magazine. She and a lot of other people are collectively Time Magazine's Person of the Year. Who is it?
The Protester.
Yes, The Protester. It was an amazing year for protest. It all began with the Arab Spring, which until the protests in the Middle East this year was simply the world's worst-selling brand of soap. And then all over the world, people stood up for what they believed in, be it the end of autocratic oppression in the Middle East or to rail against People magazine for not naming Ryan Gosling the sexiest man alive. Here in America, the Occupy protesters became a nationwide phenomenon. They spread from New York. There's an Occupy Miami, Occupy Denver, Occupy Los Angeles, Occupy Oakland. It's just like the Hard Rock Cafe, except the guys cooking tofu over flaming ash cans in the park, they have better food.
Did you get a bad meal at the Hard Rock Cafe? Jeez, you don't just walk it off, man.
No, I carry a grudge.
You should protest.
I should.
Yeah.
And then I'd be Time Magazine's Man of the Year. It's like, all you need to do. All right, we have one more quote for you. Here it is.
Okay.
Honestly, I've been far more distracted by skirmishes between the kids in the back seat. Are we going to ban them, too?
That was one of the many Americans. This one was quoted on MichiganLive.com, reacting to the proposed national ban on what?
Cell phones in the car.
Exactly. Cell phones while driving. Very good. The National Transportation Safety Board, they looked over a decade's worth of accident data. They calmly tied their panties into bunches and said, we all have to stop using our phones when we're driving, all of us, for anything right now. And that means you, Bluetooth headset guy. Well, especially you, because frankly, you look like an ass.
You know, do they ever calculate how many mailboxes have been driven into?
I don't know if they count mailboxes.
Yeah, because it seems to me that just shows that the regular post is dangerous as well. They're there, and they can easily be crashed into.
I see your point.
Edge of people's yards a lot of times, whereas you could easily go up on the yard and not do any harm at all. But with that mailbox there...
Are you guys prepared to give up using your phone while you're driving? Because you guys are both live in L.A., right?
I stopped driving while talking on the phone even before they made it a law.
Well, it's not a law, as you may or may not know. This is just a recommendation from the...
But it's in California. You
hands
can't
free.
Talk.
Yeah,
hands free.
Yeah, hands free. And I've been driving hands free.
So you stopped. You decided...
I stopped, yeah. I stopped using my hands at all in the car. I was assuming that was the law.
Right.
Your car has Siri, right? The iPhone, you just go forward.
You just get in and shout at the car.
Turn right.
No, you know what my car has that is the worst feature I've ever had in a car? Is this damn thing where you put the key in.
Oh, you don't put the key in.
That's very weird.
You have to have the keys with you, and then you push a button to start the car.
Right. Yeah.
And
it's a radio thing.
But so you don't take the keys out.
No.
Tell you something. You look for my car, and it's running. It is so frustrating. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten back to the car. I mean, oh, geez, I left it running again. You have no way of knowing that the car is running. And you get out. It's not until I see it driving away that I realize.
Carl, how did Dave do in our quiz?
Well, you can't do better, Peter. Dave had 3 correct answers. Dave, you win our prize.
Well done. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks so much, guys. You just made my year.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.